Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I know what you're thinking, Steph. Where can I get another good fucking podcast besides this fucking happy hour I'm about to listen to?
The Bill Press Pod.
The Bill fucking Press Pod. Okay, it's not called that, but he did drop a few expletives on our regular little family-friendly morning show.
He did.
And I feel like he's better to run free in the Bill Press Pod.
That's the way he was meant to be.
Yeah, so yeah. It just says Bill Press Pod, but you and I both know it means Bill fucking Press.
Yeah, it's free range Bill.
Bill fucking Press has a podcast. It is still the same. It's the same cuddly Bill that you love with all the top progressives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Congress people, senators, you name it. Newsmakers in Washington, D.C.
Thought leaders.
Yeah, thank you. With what a cooler talk, everybody.
Uh-huh.
What everybody in the political world's talking about. Okay, listen, it drops twice a week, right? You'll hear Bill interview leading progressives like Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, Jerry Brown, Pete Buttigieg, hold a weekly roundtable with 3 of Washington's top political reporters. That's why I subscribe to the Bill Press Pod, and you should too. Go wherever you go to listen to your podcast. Search for the Bill Press Pod. No matter what occurs, you will find him.
Mm-hmm.
Click on subscribe and then tell your friends to do the same. Join me, friends, as a subscriber to the Bill Press Pod. And now, here we go. All right, calm down. Okay. Happy hour. This is so exciting. Steve Schmidt, yeah. Political consultant extraordinaire, joins us. Steve, okay, I'm going to try to calm down and not freak you out. But first of all, do you know my dad ran with Barry Goldwater, right, in 1964? Did you?
I do.
Okay. So I don't want to call them daddy issues, but
no.
I long for the days of principled Republicans like you. And when you get going on your rants on MSNBC, you are just such a patriot. I can't tell you how much it resonates with me.
Oh, thank you very much. That's nice.
And listen, we have a love-hate thing because there's a whole period where I hated you because you are so good at what you do. But, I mean, this not only – you said this when you renounced the Republican Party and became independent. This is not only not you can go back, not Reagan's party. This is not my dad's party, Goldwater's party. I mean, you can go back. This is Trump's party, as you said, when you renounced the party. You said this is fully Donald Trump's party now.
It's a Trump party, but more than that, it's any American in the sense that it's a cult of personality. And we've not seen very many political cults of personality in this country over the entirety of our history. I think culturally, ideologically, I imagine this is what it would have been if George Wallace became president. Mm. That's really what Trump embraces, is Wallaceism. It's a Southern evangelically infused, and by Southern evangelically infused, I don't mean good people of faith. I mean the Pharisees in the temple, the Jerry Falwell Juniors, the Franklin Grahams, the nut in the White House who's the spiritual advisor, Pastor Hagee, and the rest of these people. And it's that fusion culturally mixed in with white grievance, dash of populism, in a time where globalization and automation and artificial intelligence were putting downward pressure on so many working class communities, so many working class jobs, even before COVID. And, you know, he's a grievance candidate. I mean, you know, Reagan, whether you agreed or disagreed with Ronald Reagan, Reagan was fueled by optimism, right? Mm-hmm. And that optimism won him an election with 49 states. Trumpism is fueled by grievance. And in that grievance culture, there's no one allowed to be a bigger victim than Donald Trump. Yeah. He is playing the role of victim in chief every day, every hour, blaming somebody for his abominable failures of leadership and his total incompetency and ineptitude. And so that's the hour we live in now, which is, you know, very different, very different than what we've ever had before.
That is one of the love phases of yours and my love-hate relationship, is when I was a 21-year-old USC college kid, I voted for Ronald Reagan. So when I was a daddy's girl, and I assumed I was a Republican too. So, right, but it seems like a million years ago in terms of as you always put it on Twitter and on TV, we have just never seen anything like this. You said, I bet no future president will ever hang Trump's portrait in the White House. It will be impossible to shower even false praise on the most vile of men. His presidency will be like Chernobyl, something to be sealed off, a poison to be contained. And that's what I would think. And I can't speak for my dad, Steve. He's been gone, you know, since 83. But he was a Nuremberg prosecutor. I can't imagine. He was chairman of the Republican Party. I can't imagine him hearing Trump say there's very fine people, referring to Nazis in Charlottesville. I mean, we lost this as, like, in terms of just what kind of man he is. I can tell you what kind of man my dad was. And it's like you and John Weaver and Rick Wilson and all the guys that have renounced the Republican Party and Trump because of the kind of man he is. Forget president, right? He's just a despicable human being.
Well, for sure. He embodies all of the anti-virtues. He's selfish. He's vain. He's narcissistic. He's in it for himself. We've never seen a president who's more corrupt. We've never seen a president meet a moment of crisis as incompetently as this one has. But all of his defects, and they fall basically, if you were to generalize, into three categories. He's proven himself to be intellectually deficient. He's mentally deficient. I mean, somebody who gets up there and says that the way you deal with coronavirus is to inject yourself with disinfectants. And he's morally deficient. He's unable to process that we have 100,000 dead Americans and we'll have many more. The collective grief that we feel as a country, it doesn't touch his heart at all. He has an incapacity for leadership at every level. And so we see the spiraling dishonesty, the fantasy that everything will be recovered by the fourth quarter. And we realize that Joe Scarborough has pointed this out, I think, in a brilliant Washington Post column, and he talked about it on Morning Joe this morning, which is, how did the country that has half of the world's Nobel Prizes for science and math in the last 50 years, well, last 70 years since 1950. How could this happen here? most advanced country in the world, the place of invention and science, that we're the epicenter with 4% of the world's population of a global pandemic, that you have more chance of getting it in the U.S., you have more chance of dying from it in the U.S. Not every economy around the world is shattered because of this. It's shattered because of Trump's incredible ineptitude in responding to it. So all of the virtues that you're talking about of that generation that grew up in the Depression, that fought in the war, as we approach Memorial Day, as we approach another anniversary of the D-Day invasions, he is antithetical to every sensibility of what leadership looked like, of what competency looked like, of what American character looked like. And so we stand on the edge of this new rancid era, you know, with Donald Trump putting his case forward for re-election, I think, in one of the most consequential elections in the country's history.
Yeah.
Not since 1864 have we had a bigger choice for the direction of the country. We decided in that election whether we'd be a country at all or not.
Yeah. Well, now you brought up a sore spot. You know, Steve, I have to say, I got to ask, though, because my liberal friends have already hated me that I vote for Reagan, you know, I don't know how many years ago that was. But, I mean, why are you guys so much better at this, I feel like, than our side? These Lincoln Project ads, you guys know how to go for the jugular. You know, that's what I feel like Democrats need to learn to fight the way you guys do. Because I obviously hated you. You were on the opposite side of campaigns. But these Lincoln Project ads are obviously making him go insane. The morning in America spelled...
Absolutely.
As in morning, not Reagan's morning. But, you know, that said we are sicker and poorer. How we can even be having a discussion, Steve, as both sides do it, and is he doing a good job, when we have 100 million Americans dead and 40 million out of work, or we'll be to that shortly... How are we having a discussion as to whether, you know, you're better off today, right? The campaign question you ask every cycle.
Well, look, all elections, you know, fundamentally come down to, do you want to change direction or do you want more of the same? And it's very difficult to imagine what the case for more of the same is as a matter of reality. And so you see a number of national polls right now that show Joe Biden up 11 points. You see Trump's numbers collapsing with key demographics, collapsing in the swing states. But mostly the country looks at this and says that this is not what a winner looks like. This guy's a loser. And I don't mean this. I don't mean this. I don't mean this to name call. He's an imbecile.
And I
use that word because that's the word that describes most surgically his behavior throughout this entire crisis in the English language. You know, if he was the French president, I'm sure we'd have to find the appropriate French word to do it. But that's the word in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
When you look over and over again about the things that come out of his mouth, and people look at this and people will tolerate crazy in this country and they'll be entertained by it.
Yeah.
So long as you're winning, and there's no argument to be made that the country's winning. And so they see someone up there every day fumbling around, slurring his words, talking nonsense, contradicting himself, misinforming the public. He puts on a clinic of incompetence. He gets up there, the entire country's locked up at home, and he talks about how great his ratings are.
Yeah.
Talks about how everyone is to blame but him, that he's not responsible for anything. And this is the guy, when there were 15 cases in this country, said it would all soon be gone, praised the Chinese handling of it. And I just think that sometimes people say in these moments, they'll say, this isn't a time for politics. This is the essential time for politics in a country of the people, by the people, for the people. Because we have to make a decision. We have to understand that the people we put into these high offices, people that sit behind the Resolute desk, that life and death decisions get made in that space, in that office. And because Donald Trump sits behind that desk, the man who said, I alone can fix it, I'm going to make America great again, because he sits behind that desk, we have suffering and death, tens of thousands more than would have otherwise been.
We have economic collapse, and we have a divided country that can't even look at each other and agree on what reality is. Yep. That's the deadly cost of this guy in the Oval Office.
He's having us have a war not just against this virus, Steve, but against facts, science, truth. Do you ever have that panic when someone calls you on FaceTime?
Yep.
And you're like, nah! Right? But you have enough rings on FaceTime to get your Plexiderm on before
up.
You answer.
That's right.
Okay. Plexiderm, we love it. All the sexy liberals use it. It's just a little dabble, do you? And it makes me feel better. Do not underestimate that in quarantine, right? In lockdown, whatever you are.
Yes, you need to feel better every once in a while.
Right? It's the horrifying things you need to see yourself on those Zoom calls. And you're like, yeah. Plexiderm, I love it. It is amazing, clinically studied serum. It goes on clear. Nobody even knows you're using it, but yeah. It works like magic, right? Do it for yourself. Clinically studied serum. It works amazingly. And you just look like you, but 10 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
Go to plexiderm.com. You got to get ready for the virtual tour.
Yeah.
We'll be able to see you too.
Yes.
Yeah. Go to tryplexiderm.com. Use my code VOICES for half off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm, plus an additional $10 off. Half off, plus an extra $10 off. What? Or call them 800-685-1292. Mention the code VOICES. Plexiderm backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit tryplexiderm.com. Type in VOICES. That is the code VOICES. Tryplexiderm.com. And you brought up that he's a loser. I know you're a tough guy. I can tell. You must have cried when he called the Lincoln Project the Losers Project. I imagine you wept silently.
Yeah, we're delighted to be engaged in a conversation about the reality. He's the worst president this country's ever had. I don't say that lightly. I mean, in fact, the greatest president the country's ever had, Abraham Lincoln, followed until now the man who was indisputably the worst, Buchanan. And so it took a long time to displace James Buchanan as the worst president in the Union's history. But Donald Trump has done it. He's been an abomination as president of the United States. And we stand now as a country, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you voted for both. We stand at an hour of American weakness. I'm 49 years old. But boy, I can't, in any of our lifetimes, and anyone who's of adult age, who's listening to this broadcast from 18 on, it is unimaginable the profound national humiliation that this moment has peeled back, the weakness of this country, of our system. It's extraordinary that this is the United States in 2020, and it's tragic.
Yep.
And our allies are terrified by it. Our adversaries are cheered by it. And everybody around the world, basically, collectively, holy shit, what's happened here?
Yeah.
And that's why you have these groups of world leaders all gathered together in a circle laughing at Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not laughing with him. They're laughing at him. They look at him as a buffoon and a clown.
As you and George Conway and John Weaver and Rick Wilson wrote, as Americans, we must stem the damage he and his followers are doing to the rule of law, the Constitution, and the American character. I won't make you speculate on what's going on with George Conway's marriage, but let's talk about the fact that they're just, I cannot imagine people still, whether it's Kellyanne Conway or anyone else, still defending this. What is happening? That this American, and you know, Steve, it's not just carnage. It is, I think, criminally negligent genocide, as you said. This is could have been prevented, right? We've all seen these studies that if we'd done something 1 week earlier, even 2 weeks earlier, this is a completely preventable health crisis, right? This is not something we just randomly got attacked with no warning, right?
Yeah, look, genocide is the wrong word. But what he is his negligence is deadly. It's deadly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is somebody who refuses to read, won't read. There's stories in, I think it's the Washington Post this week, about how the intelligence agencies go to extraordinary lengths. I think trying to brief him on information. Yeah. It reminds me of the opening scene from Jurassic Park when they're trying to move the Velociraptor, right? These extraordinary strategies, right?
Yeah.
To get the president of the United States to pay attention to essential information. So he won't read, doesn't do his homework, doesn't do his job. So at the moment in time when he was being warned about this, when he was being advised about it, it is not possible to penetrate the frontal lobe of Donald Trump because he knows everything.
Yeah.
And so you have a person who can't consume information, who's in the most intense decision-making job in the world, the presidency of the United States. And that's what this election's about, right? It's a total incapacity to problem solve, to be able to crisis manage, to be able to deal with complexity and nuance. He doesn't have the intellect. He doesn't have the mental stamina. He doesn't have the moral dimensions required to lead a country like the United States.
And that in that piece, Steve, too, it's not just that he doesn't listen. He brings in his own conspiracy theories from friends and tells them back to the intelligence people. And so, but as you say, that's American national security. That's why there's almost 100 million of us, or however many dead. 100,000, and 40 million people out of work. Because he goes off conspiracy theories or, you know, whatever he thinks makes him look good. We have to play the new Lincoln Project ad because you of course, air it on Fox News where you know he's going to see it. Mm-hmm. And you know exactly how to go to the jugular, and everyone needs on our side needs to learn a lesson from how Steve Schmidt plays. Okay, let's take a listen.
Meet Brad Parscale. From dead broke to the man Trump can't win without, Brad was getting rich. How rich? Really rich. But don't tell Donald. He'd wonder how Brad can afford so much. A $2.4 million waterfront house in Fort Lauderdale. Two Florida condos worth almost $1 million each. He even has his very own yacht, a gorgeous Ferrari, a sleek Range Rover. Brad brags about using private jets. Oh my, Brad's a star. And why not? Brad's worth every dollar. Just ask him.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Straight to the heart.
Is Brad Parscale going to make it through the weekend after this?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, it's extraordinary, right, in the phalanx of scammers and miscreants that abound the Trump imperial seat in Washington, right? This guy's taking money for the PPE loans.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the PPP loans. I joked around last night on TV quoting my good friend Stuart Stevens. He described it like this is like the last days of Elvis, where Colonel Parker and everyone is stuffing them full of peanut butter and banana fried sandwiches and running off with the money, right?
Yep.
That's what it's like. You know, they know he's going down.
Yeah. Yeah. To your mouth, to God's ears. Steve, let's talk about because first of all, again, you have such a storied career. I loved you as Woody Harrelson as you in Game Change, by the way. But because you're also a Republican that can admit when you're wrong, you're like, maybe Sarah Palin, not the best idea. But, right? I mean, this is also, this guy can never admit he's wrong, can never take responsibility for anything, which is so dangerous in the Oval Office, right?
Oh, for sure. Look, taking responsibility, accountability, the ability to learn from mistakes, to process information. This is elementary stuff. And he has an incapacity for it, always has. But, you know, you can't have the person with the most responsibility in the world have an absolute allergy to the concept of it.
Yeah. You know, obviously, this must have gotten so personal for you a long time ago, but as John McCain's senior advisor, I mean, again, I didn't agree with John McCain on a lot of stuff, but fully decent man, patriot, and the way Trump went after him, even after he was dead, was just, you must have so many news cycles ago gone, how can the American people accept someone attacking a genuine war hero like that?
Well, look, you know, Winston Churchill made the observation that in a democracy, the people get the government they deserve. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, civics in citizenship or action sports. You know, they require participation. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at Donald Trump's performance over these last couple of years, you look at the desecration of the dignity of the office of the president of the United States, his comportment, his lack of probity, rectitude, all of it.
Yeah.
These are appalling characteristics, and no healthy society can make it without any virtues that are celebrated, right? The things in John's life, and he was a complicated guy. You know, to say the least. And the last thing I think that John McCain would ever want is to be sainted, right? He was magnificent in so many ways because of how flawed he was, right? Mm-hmm. But even his flaws in my mind were great. But the things he stood for, right? You know, why was it that John McCain touched, right, Americans, right? What was it as we celebrated, you know, the McCain life at the end, right? What is it that we're celebrating, right? We're celebrating guts and toughness, courage, patriotism, love of country, sacrifice. And the things that McCain stood for, forgiveness, leading alongside John Kerry under President Bill Clinton, right, the veteran who protested the war, the protester who didn't go to war, the son of the admiral who refused to come home early. Those three men restored relations with Vietnam. So forgiveness and redemption, also part of the McCain legacy. But the things that McCain stood for are all virtuous things, and they're as necessary in the lifeblood of a nation as is oxygen and water for plant life. It's elemental, and we can't as a country look at Donald Trump and be proud of how he represents us.
Yeah,
because he disgraces his office, and in doing so, he disgraces our national honor and the American people.
Yeah,
and he does it all the time.
Let's focus more on the hate part of our love-hate relationship, Steve Schmidt. Not only worked on McCain's campaign, of course, but George W. Bush, Arnold Schwarzenegger out here in California. Here's the part. You were deputy assistant to and counselor to Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
You were part of the senior strategic planning group led by Karl Rove that ran George W. Bush's reelection campaign. You oversaw that reelection war room. You were the White House strategist responsible for the U.S. Supreme Court nomination of Samuel Alito and John Roberts. But again, it seems like, because you guys even said on the Lincoln Project, you're like, you don't even care. There's got to be part of you that's like, oh, in terms of a blue wave. But you're like, we don't care. We don't flip the Senate, get more seats in the House. We've got to take this country back. We got to take sanity back. Right? I mean, I look forward to the day that I can hate you again and we can argue about actual
about policy,
political policy things. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd rather live in an America dominated by progressive policy than in Trumpistan. Where the rule of law is out the window and we've become a third-rate banana republic, which is the trajectory he's got the country on. And so his illiberalism bothers me profoundly. And let me make this point. We have two political parties in the country, major parties. And those two parties are respectively the first and the third oldest political parties in the world. And they are two of the most important institutions for the advancement of human freedom and dignity in the history of the world. They're not just important American institutions. They're important institutions. They have both produced the right people in the right moments to lead the nation in hours of peril. The greatest president the 19th century, I would argue the greatest in our history, Lincoln, the first Republican president, and the union that he saved went on to save the world with the leadership of the greatest Democratic president of the 20th century, the greatest president of the 20th century, FDR. And so I've never looked at the parties from a prism, even when you're running campaigns, is the Democratic Party is all wrong. the Republican Party is entirely virtuous, that my view of it coming up in the 80s is the Republican Party for me was more of a fit, more of a home, and I thought was slightly more right than the Democrats were. But let me tell you something, that Ronald Reagan, who has inscribed on his tombstone these words, which are, you know, in my heart, I know that man is good, that in the end, what is right will triumph over what is wrong. And there's purpose and worth in every human life. That doesn't sound like Trumpism to me. I mean, I have no doubt how these men would vote in an election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump if you understand anything about these people. And so, you know, we're in this rancid, terrible era. Our democracy is being eroded. We're seeing corruption institutionalized at deep and epic levels. And so in a month, where the government goes out and spends $3 trillion, I don't even know what it means to be a limited government conservative anymore in a country now with 40 million unemployed people. And what this entire episode has done is peeled back how dysfunctional and backwards our country is compared to so many countries in the world. The response to this crisis, the incompetence of this administration, should shock the conscience of every Republican, of every Democrat, and anybody who wants to see the United States remain a strong and vibrant, powerful country cannot abide, I think, another 4 years of the Trump presidency, because there has never been a period of time where this country has been weakened more quickly than it has during his tenure.
I feel like I'm watching you on MSNBC. This is the part where I you don't want to know the details, but I just make noises and I stand up and cheer and I throw stuff. Well, Literati, the number one subscription book club for kids, now in quarantine, more important than ever. Stella tweeted, "Steph, you have the best sponsors. I just ordered Literati for Jack, who's my surrogate grandson. I lost my sister last year to cancer, my best friend, my North Star. Her one request as she was dying was to take care of Jack and her kids as if they were my own. I do." You sent it to your nephews. I sent it to my ex, Lisa, and her newborn. And everybody's raving about them.
Oh, my God. He was so excited. He, like, went and got his books and showed them to us on FaceTime. It was amazing.
I got the pictures of them. You've got to get Literati. Libraries, schools, bookstores are closed. Literati has you covered with something truly unique. Every Literati box contains 5 books based on a theme with exclusive original art and a personalized note just to your child. Do it now for a limited time. Go to Literati.com/Stephanie for 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go to Literati.com/Stephanie. 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. Literati.com/Stephanie. Terms and conditions apply. But before we get back to hating each other again and disagreeing... I don't think you answered the question, and I seriously want to know, why are you guys so much better at this? Why do you think in some ways Democrats don't fight? I don't want you to give me all your secrets, because then I'm going to use them against you back when we hate each other again. But what, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I love Michelle Obama, but when they go low, I go down to my basement, because we're not in a normal era. And I feel like you guys are so, these ads are just like, oh, bam. And I feel like not all, but some Democrats just don't seem to know how to fight the way you do.
Well, I don't know. I've spent a fair amount of my career up against the Democrats and have lost elections to them. This group is committed to, you know, putting forward an argument that's accurate, that's correct, that's defensible about what's going on in the country. And that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to communicate to people with some of the iconography of the Republican Party that what's in front of them is not okay, right? That adherence to the tribe is great so long as it doesn't damage the country. When it damages the country, you're in, going back to the Goldwater campaign in the famous Reagan speech, you're at an hour of choosing. You're in a time of choosing. You know, and Americans, including people who've never voted for a Democratic candidate, are going to have to make a choice. And that choice in November is between a really bad man, Donald Trump, and a really good man, Joe Biden. And he is a good man.
Yeah.
Between an honorable man and a dishonorable man. Between a competent man and an incompetent man. Between a divisive leader and between a unifying leader. Between a man who has no empathy in his heart, has no courage in his soul, between a man who has empathy in spades and has deep courage that we've all seen play out through the story of his life and his service and his grief in all of our living rooms as we're with our families. And we can understand that we can have an admirable man as president, or we can have somebody that the entire world laughs at. And that's the choice ahead. And it doesn't matter, right, whether you've been a registered Republican or a Democrat or an independent, the right thing is not to have somebody who's a serial liar and a predator and corrupt as hell, serving in the office, degrading our civil liberties, our vital institutions, and pitting Americans against each other in a cold civil war.
See, this is why I'm a gay woman, and I think I might be in love with you. I'm sorry. No, I don't mean to be inappropriate.
Stephanie.
It's the patriotism my father had. There was a generation, Steve Schmidt, where they said, we got to hit the beaches in Normandy. And they were like, okay. And now you're like, I have to wear a mask? Fuck you. I need a haircut. I mean, it's just this. I just can't believe the debates we're even having. By the way, you have a gay sister, and this is when I first loved you. You spoke out for gay rights a way long time ago. You said, on a personal level, my sister and her partner are an important part of my life and our children's life. You were way out there ahead for marriage equality. And Barry Goldwater, let's go full circle to my dad's running mate, right? The famous, you don't, about gays in the military, you don't need to be straight, you just need to shoot straight. He has a gay grandson. I mean, it's, you're right, there's something about just getting back to who we are as Americans, I think, that I think people are craving.
No, for sure. And in marriage, I always thought gay people had the right to be as unhappy as everybody else.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. No, that's very sweet.
No,
but I go from gay to questioning when I talk to you. Let's not dwell on that, Steve. My point is that you make me feel happy. You tweeted, Trump is unworthy to preside over a ceremony to hang President Obama's portrait in the White House. When President Biden presides over that ceremony, I hope all of the former president sans Trump will be there. It will be a restorative act. It will be a reassertion of dignity and decency. I don't want to get happy clappy, but it feels like you really believe Biden's going to win, that we are, despite God knows what, voter suppression, Russia, et cetera, that the polling that we're seeing now will hopefully bear out.
I have faith in the country, and I mean that. I don't think in the end that the country wants this for another 4 years. And Trump wears you out.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things to understand is that in any type of contest, right, there's only, right, two ways to win, right? You can win you can win by forcing a capitulation, domination on your opponent. Think Germany and Japan after World War II, right? You bring your opponent to submission. The other way to win is to bring your opponent to exhaustion. Think about Vietnam and the United States during the Vietnam War. Trump exhausts people, right? It's not normal in a democracy for the president to be omnipresent, right? For the newscast to be entirely focused on one person as if no other event plays out in the world. And so, you know, people, you can tell this, right? When this stuff comes on CNN, for example, in the airport, right? People just moving away from the TV. They want to turn it off, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's dealing with crazy relatives on Facebook and on social media, and it comes into the family. And I think that there's just a heavy burden for this period of time. I think there's tremendous anxiety in the country, tremendous uncertainty in the country. But I think a majority of the country, including in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan that narrowly gave it to him, are going to say, no, I'm not doing this for four more years.
Yeah. And well said.
And I do have confidence that he'll be defeated, but nobody should take it for granted. And nobody, no matter how bad a job he does, should discount the power of his propaganda networks.
Yeah.
The sophistication of his campaign operation, and his capacity for demagoguery and dishonesty and literally to do anything to try to remain in power.
Real quick, before we go, not to, you know, dwell on vice presidential picks in the past, who do you think he's going to pick? Who should he pick?
he needs to pick someone who's ready to be president of the United mm-hmm. States on day one, and that can augment a narrative of restoration and competency. And obviously, it's an important pick because, you know, that person has a likelihood of being a future nominee of the party, and certainly will represent a moment of generational change in the party. I was wrong about this 4 years ago, which was I said this would be the last election where two baby boomers ran against each other, and that's not the case. But this will be the last election in American history where we have the two baby boomers running against each other. So it will be a pick that I think is likely to be. I think there's a tremendous chance that it'll be a woman. I think it's a tremendous chance that it could be a minority woman. But it has to be someone who the country will look at and say, this person is ready to fulfill the duties of the oath of office. And
who do you like? Who do you like for the pick? If you were advising,
I don't know. I feel like I'm cursing them if I'm doing
Steve
it.
Steve Schmidt curse.
Look, there's cases to be made for Elizabeth Warren. There's mm-hmm. a case to be made for Kamala Harris. There's a case to be made for Senator Klobuchar. There's a case to be made for the Michigan governor. There's a number of choices out there that are attractive choices. But they got to be able to get through the vetting. They have to be able to perform on a national stage. They got to be able to take the fight. But I'll say this: Kamala Harris, I think, has demonstrated, and she'll do well in the debates, as with Klobuchar. The two prosecutors, and I do think, as you said, you gave us some compliments. I do think one thing the Lincoln Project is doing is prosecuting a case against Trump.
Yep.
And I do think the Democratic nominee is to be somebody who can prosecute a case against Trump. And I think that two of the most effective prosecutors, three of the most effective prosecutors in the party are Warren, Klobuchar, and Harris.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Steve, when I hear you talk, I hear Bethlehem in the background whenever I hear you speak on the MSNBC here. Thank you for using your voice and your patriotism for the Lincoln Project. This was as inappropriate as this was. It was not nearly as inappropriate as I wanted it to be. because I love you. I think you're doing fantastic work, and thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Steve.
Bye.
All right. Debt. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it, right? Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans makes it nearly impossible to pay off all your debt. And insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators knows how to get debt out of your life permanently without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with Debt, they're the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Time to finally get some sleep. Time to rest easy. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. One more time. DoneWithDebt.com. Do it now. DoneWithDebt.com.